Yasher Koach to Tani for sponsoring tonight's shir, Le'iloi Nishmas. His father, Shmuel Menachem ben Harav Tovya Yaakov, Zechrono Livracha, Zirtzeit was today. Tani, thank you so much for all that you do for the shul, and it's in specific for our Monday night learning. It's very, very much appreciated. We wouldn't really have any of this without Tani. So thank you very much, and our learning tonight should be Le'iloi Nishmas, your father. So we are beginning a very, very large and complex topic in Hilchos Brachos, very halacha lamaisa, and that of Iker V'Tofel. We are certainly not going to be able to cover it all in one night. This is going to take a number of weeks, and we're going to try to do it thoroughly, rigorously. And in order to do that, I want to set us out on an introduction to the topic tonight. Tonight is going to be fewer halacha lamaisa questions, but The best way to answer the halacha lamaisa questions is to have a really good understanding of the topic. So tonight we're going to try to get a more lamdasha understanding of the topic, and as the weeks go forward, we will touch upon all of the halacha lamaisa issues of Iker V'Tofel. So let's begin in the Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah Parakeitz and Mevarchin. Heviu lefanav maliach techila upasimo. If they brought someone a salty food together with bread, mevarech ala maliach hu poter es hapas, he makes the bracha on the maliach, he makes a shahakol on the salty item, and that exempts the bread from a bracha at all. Shehapas tefelelo, because the bread is considered secondary to the salty item, and zeha klal kol shu ikar v'imo tefela, mevarech ala ikar upoter es hatfila. One of the most well-trodden principles in Hilchos Brachos, the principle of Iker V'Tofel, the Mishnah establishes over here, that whenever you have Ikar V'Imo Tfela, we make the bracha on the Ikar, and that exempts the Tofel. The Gemara analyzes the Mishnah's case. It says, "Umi'ika midi dahava maliach Iker upas tefila." Is there any such scenario in which the salty food is the primary one and the bread is secondary? Does one ever eat bread and have that as a secondary item? So, Amar Avacha Breda Rav Avira Amar Ravashi Ba'ochle Piros Ginusar Shanu. We're talking about a case of a person who's consuming Peros Ginusar. What are Peros Ginusar? So the Rishonim explain that Peros Ginusar are exceedingly sweet fruits, and because of their exceptional sweetness, people would need other tastes to balance out the sweetness. So therefore, together with the Peros Ginusar, one would also have something salty, the Maliach, and once one's having something salty, you also need something plain and bland to balance out the saltiness. So for that, you have the bread. So you have all these different items in order to create the perfect taste, to have the perfect palate experience. So Tosos over here right away asks an interesting question. They say, "Vim Tomar, Peros have Iker umaliach tafel." So if he's really having his meal for the Peros Ginusar. That's really what he wants. He wants the sweet fruits. So at the end of the day, the salty item is actually tafel to the Peros Ginusar, right? The Mishnah only spoke about the maliach and the bread, but it kind of forgot the Ikar. The Ikar is the Peros Ginusar. So Tosa says, if you'll tell me that the Peros are the Ikar and the Maliach is the Tafel, so therefore what should have been the din? V'liver chala Peros v'liftar kulhu. So you should have made a bar prayer eitz on the Peros, and then everything else would be exempt under that. You don't make a bracha on the bread, and you also don't make a bracha on the Maliach. You just make a bar prayer eitz on the fruit, and you're all good to go. So Tosus explains why you still make a bracha on the maliach. Maybe you had the fruit, and then you took a break. You realized everything is so sweet. So then you come back, I need something. You need something extra. You come back, you get the maliach and the bread. So you make another bracha on the maliach. That's the first answer of Tosos. Second answer, inami b'sha'a sha'ocha peros ginusar lo haya sham adayan maliach upas de lo haya yodea sheyachlash libo machmas hamesikus. Tosos says that perhaps the case is that he was eating the Peros Ginusar. He thought that he could withstand the extra sweetness of the fruits, but turns out that he was wrong. He actually needed some saltiness to balance out the sweetness, and therefore they brought him the Maliach and the Pas. But originally that wasn't his plan. Okay. So the Chazon Ish in Orach Chaim, he makes a very important inference from this Tosfos. Chazon Ish says what do you see from over here? So Tosfos says that because you weren't expecting to have the salty food, therefore you have to make a bracha on it. You ate the Peros Ginusar. Second answer of Tosos was that the reason why you have to make a bracha on the Maliach is because you weren't expecting to have the Maliach. You thought you'd be able to withstand the sweetness of the Peros. So you didn't expect, you weren't planning on having the Maliach, so you have to make a bracha on the Maliach. Does that change the fact that the Maliach is still tafel to the Peros? The salty item is still tafel to the Peros. Why is it not tafel anymore?
Because now it has nothing to do with the Peros. Your intention is the key word. Your intention changed over time. Versus starting off in the beginning with everything together.
Yeah. Okay. So let's keep that in mind. I'll go through the Chazanish's diuk, and then we'll come back to Yosef because Yosef has a nice retort. So the Chazanish says the Chazanish assumes that the Maliach is still tafel to the Peros. So he says, hold on a second. If it's tafel to the Peros, then why are you saying a bracha on the Maliach? Thought the rule in the Mishnah was that if you have ikar v'tafel, you make a bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tafel. So the Chazanish says, what this Tosos proves, is that when we say that the Iker exempts the Tafel, it doesn't mean that the Tafel doesn't require a bracha at all. What it means is that the Tafel, the bracha on the Tafel, is subsumed within the bracha on the Iker. So let's present a Chakir, and then we'll bring it all home. Chakir of the Achronim is that there are two ways to look at the Ptur of Iker v'Tafel. What my Rebbe would call eclipsing or subsuming. Okay, eclipsing means that when I have ikar v'tafel, all that I look at is the ikar. It's like the tafel is annihilated. It's totally torpedoed. It's like it doesn't exist. You just have the ikar. If that's the case, so one way of formulating why there's no bracha on the tafel is because the chiyuv bracha is gone. When you have ikar v'tafel, the rules of brachos dictate that you only make a bracha on the ikar. This is actually the way Rav Soloveitchik understood, at least that's what I saw in the Rishimo Shiurim, that's why he understood this day. Chazanish says, no, that's not correct. The way to look at it is not as an eclipse, but rather as a subsuming, meaning there's still a requirement to make a bracha on the tafel. But the bracha on the tafel gets subsumed within the bracha on the ikar. So you make a bracha on the ikar that covers not only the ikar, but also the tafel. Chazanish brings a raya from this Tosfos, because in this Tosfos we have a case where you do make a bracha on the tafel, because the subsuming didn't work. Why didn't the subsuming work? Because in order for it to work, you have to have the tafel in mind, or at least has to be part of the same situation. But over here, he ate the peros without any plan to have the maliach. And then later on, the maliach came, it's still tafel to the peros, because it's just trying to temper the taste of the peros, but nonetheless, you're making a bracha. So the Chazanish said, what do you see from there? You see that the whole idea of ikar v'tafel is really a subsuming idea, not an eclipsing idea. If you really held of the eclipsing idea, so maybe you would have to say something of like what Yosef was offering. Yosef was suggesting that you can't bring a raya from this Tosfos, because since you had no plan to have the tafel, maybe you can't consider it a tafel. That's where, in order to consider something ikar v'tafel, you could use the word seiruf. There needs to be a connection. There needs to be a link between the ikar and the tafel, so that they're like hyphenated, so to speak, and the ikar covers the tafel. But if you didn't have any plan to have the tafel, then that link is broken, and now the tafel is no longer a tafel. That's how the other position would respond.
But then it's no longer part of the chakira. It's no longer part of the definition of ikar v'tafel. It's outside.
Correct, and that's why you're making a bracha, because this opinion, the eclipsing opinion would...
Eclipsing is now no longer in the gather of ikar v'tafel.
Correct, but what I'm trying to say is that the eclipsing opinion would hold that if something is defined as ikar v'tafel, then you would never make a bracha on the tafel. So in order to explain why Tosos is making a bracha on the maliach, you have to give the explanation that it's not ikar v'tafel.
Okay.
Good? Okay, we'll sit on it. Okay. So that is the Chazanish and his diuk from Tosos. And the truth is that not everybody agrees with Tosos Yosef. So the Baal HaMor seems to disagree with Tosos. There are ways you could wiggle out of this counterproof. But the Baal HaMor seems to say in source number 3 that if you don't have even if you don't have something in mind, it's still going to be considered tafel, and therefore you won't make a bracha at all. What the Baal HaMor says is a case where you have a meal. So you make hamotzi on the meal. And at that point, He says in the second to last line, Aval hacha debo idno debarich berkas hamotzi, akati lo aisu kameh hanoch dvarim haboyim achmas suda. At the time that you made hamotzi, none of the other foods were brought to you. Velo hava date alayhu bishas bracha. And you didn't have them in mind at all. When you made hamotzi, you weren't intending to cover the tafel at all. So ema lebaya bracha betchila, you might have thought that since you didn't have them in mind, you should require a bracha on the tafel. Kamash malon kevan detfeila ninu lo ba'i bracha. The Baal HaMor says that since they're defined as tafel, even though you didn't have them in mind when you made the bracha on the ikar, nonetheless, no bracha is necessary, because when you have ikar v'tafel, tafel gets knocked out. So some wanted to bring a proof from that Baal HaMor that they hold against the Chazon Ish, more like what I was saying in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, the eclipsing idea, not the subsuming idea. So that's the basic chakira when it comes to ikar v'tafel. Those are two poles. I think you could draw up some middle options over here, but for the sake of clarity and conciseness, I'm going to leave it at that. So, first of all, halacha l'maisa on that point. Do you have to have the tafel in mind? So take a look at sources number 4 and 5. Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol shu ikar v'imot feila, mivarech alo ikar upoter esat feila, bein mibracha shelefaneha, bein mibracha shele'achareha. So the ikar exempts the tafel, whether from bracha rishona or from bracha achrona. And the Mishneh Berurah comments over there, kevan shu hu tafel at the end, va'afilu kishelo haya ha'tafel lefanav bish'as achilas ha'ikar. If you're eating the ikar and the tafel is not before you, im haya daito bish'as bracha lechol gam ha'tafel, if your intent was to have the tafel, o shedarko bekach lechol ha'tafel acharav, or it's customary for you, it's normal for you to have the tafel when you're eating that ikar, so then poter ha'tafel, then the bracha on the ikar would cover the tafel. Avolim eino ragil bekach, but if it's not normal for you to accompany the ikar with the tafel that you have, v'gam lo hayadaito beferish b'shas ha'bracha lechol ha'tafel, and you also don't have the tafel in mind when you make the bracha on the ikar, then sarich levarich gam al ha'tafel, ach oz mevarich al ha'tafel rak shahakol da'al koponim tafel hu mafsir b'chaz ha'ikaris v'dumi d'psakar amalek kamon ba'agoh. We're going to come back to that very important point, but for right now, what I want to point out is that the Mishneh Berurah clearly holds like Tosfos. The Mishneh Berurah is saying that if you don't have the tafel in mind, you have to make a bracha on the tafel. Right? So again,
says that also if it's not usual, well, he says both.
Both. It needs to be not usual, and also you don't have it in mind. So you need both of those.
Is either one okay to stand on their own?
Yes, that's what he said. Right? Because if it's customary, then that kind of substitutes for the das. Yeah. Okay, so the Mishneh Berurah clearly holds like Tosfos. Yes.
My question is definitely not on the classic case of ikar v'tafel, but I'm just curious if it just happens right now. When you go to get some chicken and there's water, so you're going to take some chicken, you're going to make a shakal.
Yeah.
So can you just make a shakal on the chicken and then not make a shakal on the water?
Yeah, so I think that but it wouldn't be midin ikar v'tafel. It would be midin that when you make a bracha, you can have anything in mind that would also be covered under that bracha.
Yeah,
I think so. But in that case, the everybody would agree that certainly the water or the seltzer, right, requires a bracha. And we're saying that you're making one bracha that applies to two things. So you're saying that's the same model as the subsuming idea where the tafel does require the bracha. It's just that it gets subsumed within the other bracha. So yes and no. So yes in that it's the same type of idea, but the chiddush by ikar v'tafel, and this is what the Rav points out and why he objects to it, the chiddush by ikar v'tafel is that you could have an ikar that has bracha A, let's say ha'eitz, and a tafel that's a shahakol, but the eitz is covering the shahakol, right? We wouldn't say that if you were eating an apple and also having a drink, we wouldn't say you could say ha'eitz and have in mind the drink and now you don't have to make the shakal, right? So that's why actually the Rav objects to it. He says, how could that be? How could that be that the ikar covers the tafel when you're not making the proper bracha on the tafel? That's his argument.
So over here, I mean, you have spicy chicken. So if all that was to drink was grape juice, and most people don't really need a drink, but spicy chicken, so you want to wash it down with something. So does the grape juice become tafel? You don't make a tafel on it? It seems like Tosfos is saying that you probably wouldn't.
Is a drink even part of the movement?
I guess it would probably depend on this Mishneh Berurah. Right? Is it like normal for you to do that? Did you have it in mind? Is it normal? That's actually a good case, right?
Especially, I mean, like, people don't drink grape juice.
Not so normal.
Drink.
Right. It's not so normal, and you probably didn't have it in mind, so you would have to make a bracha.
Just trying to wash your mouth.
Right, but so if it were water, then that would be what we learned earlier in the year, no bracha. But for grape juice. Okay. So another, let's demonstrate this chakira in another piece from the Emek Bracha. Whenever Tani gets involved in the shir, we quote the Emek Bracha. We have the relationship down yet? What's the...
My first cousin's grandfather-in-law.
First cousin's grandfather-in-law. Okay. Nisa, can I borrow your pen for a second?
Yeah.
His first cousin's grandfather-in-law. Mamish?
That's your first cousin's like spouse's grandfather?
Nobody's
answering. Or,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So take a look at this. This is... A lot of this this conversation really centers on this Mishnah Berurah. So take a look at this. Source number 6, Emek Bracha. Shulchan Aruch writes like this. Shasa yayin umayim ein lo. Shasa yayin umayim. If he has both wine and water. Okay? Somebody drinks both wine and water. Ein lo levarich al hamayim bori nefashos rabos shebirkas hayayin potartan. So what are you going to do? You're going to say an ala gefen as the bracha achrona on the wine, and that's going to cover the water, so you don't make a bari nefashos on the water. Uve mishne brura b'shar atzion sham kasav. Shar atzion writes, delo yitzuyar rak im shasa revias yayin. The only time that this is true is if you have a revias worth of wine. Shemechuy of the chulayama b'bracha. Because when you have a revias of wine, everybody agrees that you have to say ala gefen. Once you're saying ala gefen, that will cover the water. However, v'im shasa pachos mekeshir zeh, if you have less than a revias, yesh la'ayin bedavar eich yaseh le'inyin bracha achrona demashkin. Now you're in a pickle. What are you going to do? Because you drink less than a revias. When you drink between a kezias and a revias, there's a suffix whether the drink needs a bracha achrona. Suffix whether we go by a kezias worth or a revias worth. So this person drank between a kezias and a revias of wine. So now he has a suffix whether he's going to say ala gefen. Some say that you do have to say mein shalosh, you have to say ala gefen in that case, but others say not. But since some say that you do have to say ala gefen, umimela lo yuchal levarich bori nefashos rabos ala mashkin. So the Mishnah Berurah says like this. You have between a kezias and a revias of wine. And let's say you have a revias of water. What are you going to do for the bracha achrona? If you make an ala gefen, then that would cover the water. But in this case, you're not going to say an ala gefen. Because the din is that when you drink between the kezias and the revias, you don't say ala gefen because of safik brachos lahakel. Safik, you don't say the bracha. So now you're not saying an ala gefen on the wine. Okay. But the Mishnah Berurah says, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can say bari nefashos. Because maybe you were really obligated to say ala gefen. And once you're obligated to say ala gefen, you can't replace that with bari nefashos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, maybe you're in a situation where you can't make any bracha achrona. So that's the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, but would suffik make you go on to like the more sure ground of the benefashos?
Ah, okay, good. So that's what the imik bracha is going to respond. Now remember that the yayin and the water is ikar v'tafel.
Is that why you're talking about ikar v'tafel?
What?
When you make a brei priya gafet and we say that's poter kol shar mashkin, is that because of ikar v'tafel?
So let's see. Let's read the same bracha.
He's going to assume that, but like, I'm not sure that that's a given.
Correct. So let's come back to that. Let's analyze this piece of Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll come back. Le'aniyas da'iti eino muvan, says the same bracha. He says, I don't understand this Mishnah Berurah, and by the way, Rav Moshe also didn't understand it. He says, da'harei had the ikar poter hatafel, ein perusho de hatafel ein sarich bracha. That which the ikar exempts the tafel is not like what the Rav said, that the tafel doesn't require a bracha. The nita alachi of bracha mimenu, that there's no obligation to say the bracha on the tafel. Ela peirusho she'atafelu bechlala ikar. V'nifter b'birkas ha'ikar. It's a subsuming idea. V'raya lezeh. The ha im lo haya hatafel lefan of bish asbracha velo haya daito alav the lo miftar hatafel kemosha kasav atosos ahead of brachos daf mem dalid. He brings the same raya as the chazanish from the tosos that we saw. Ve'im kain benidon didan nehi deika plugta im bishasias rov revius mukhuyev lebarich main chalosh. So granted that there's a safik whether you have to say ala gefen when you have between a kezias and a revius. Avol mikol makom kema de sof sof eino mevarich ala yain main chalosh. Since you're not saying the ala gefen, mitam dava safik bracha, imkein mi meila deshuv tzarech bivadai levarich alamayim bari nefalshos rabos. Of course you have to say the bari nefalshos on the water. Because to begin with, we have ikr v'tafel. Yayin's the ikr, mayim is the tafel. The idea that the tafel doesn't require a bracha is not that there's no obligation to say the bracha, but rather that it's subsumed within the bracha of the ikar. So what if you're not saying a bracha on the ikar because of a safik? Kicks back in the bracha on the tafel. What's the bracha on the tafel? Bari nefashos. So you have to say bari nefashos. That's the Imak Bracha's argument. So some want to say that there was a debate over here about the two approaches. The Mishnah Berurah was saying that no, the tafel is, there's no chiyuv bracha on the tafel. There's only a chiyuv bracha on the ikar. Just happens to be that you don't know which one to say. But see, that's not a reason to then say a bracha on the tafel. But the Imak Bracha says that no. It's the subsuming idea, and since you're not saying a bracha on the ikar, therefore you would say a bracha on the tafel. Now, it's not eminently clear that the Mishnah Berurah holds this way, because you could distinguish between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. Maybe when it comes to bracha achrona, that's where we would say that you're not going to say a bari nefashos on the water just because you have a safik on the wine. But that doesn't mean that he would disagree with Tosos. We saw him agree with Tosos. Right. Mishnah Berurah paskin like Tosos.
Just to push that idea a little further, there's a critical difference between bracha rishon and bracha achrona. Bracha rishon, there's never a suffix if you were like, oh, mischayev yourself in the bracha rishon. You ate. You have to make a bracha.
For the hana.
With the bracha achrona, you have to eat until you get to, you have to become chayev. You can eat and not become chayev in a bracha. If you eat in the context of, in certain contexts, you know, if I eat food during a meal, I never, not machayev in a bracha achrona on that food. Why? Because I'm eating a meal, I'm going to bench.
Right?
So I'm only chayev in benching. I'm not chayev in a separate bracha achrona for the other food. If I don't bench because I never ate the kezayis.
So I think that's the idea that they're saying. They're saying since bracha achrona is not a din in hana, it's not a din in kol shenanem and olam hazeh v'lo bracha kilu ma'al.
Right?
So it's saying that, look, this is ikar v'tafel. You have the wine and the water. It's clearly ikar v'tafel. So we should apply the rules of ikar v'tafel, which means I make the bracha on the ikar, not on the tafel. Now, I don't know which bracha to say on the ikar. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't apply the rules.
Maybe the whole concept here doesn't necessarily go off the ground because of the fact that when you're dealing with bracha achrona, there's a different kind of mechayev. There's no precedent for applying. We don't necessarily know that we can apply the ikar v'tafel the same way when it comes to bracha achrona.
The Shulchan Aruch assumes that way, though. That's the Shulchan Aruch in 4 says Mavarich halo ikar poter satfila bein mibracha shelufaneha bein mibracha shelacharet. Yes, Ita.
What's the case of the water and the wine and ikar v'tafel? It made sense in the fish, in the salty fish case with the bread, right? Like you're only eating the bread because of the salty fish,
mm-hmm.
because it like affects your throat or whatever, or you're eating the salty fish because of the sweet fruit. Like, are you drinking the water because of the wine? What is the ikar and tafel? Like, I don't understand what the relationship here is.
Yeah, we have to look up that Shulchan Aruch inside in Reish Ches Tezayin. So let's look that up. But I think the case is where you don't want to have wine, let's say, on an empty stomach. So you have some water in order to fill yourself up, and then you also have the wine.
Got it.
Okay. Chaser.
Something like that. Huh?
Like a chaser.
Pre-chaser.
I was just curious.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be, because that's always the case. Always, if you would have wine and water, you'd only make rough on wine.
But that's not ikar v'tafel. It would be like, if you...
Even if it wasn't
ikar v'tafel, like, you want to be meat and bread instead.
Right, so that was the first point that you were making, right?
Right.
You're saying that if you're making... You're having the wine and you also have water... So, actually, yeah, you know what? Maybe that's... Okay, hold on. So maybe that's the case, and then we can also... that's what Rav Dovi was arguing before. So, Eitan, you're saying that the case is that you're just having wine and water. We're assuming that the bracha of Bari Pri Al Gafen covers the water, midin ikar v'tafel. That's not so clear. maybe it's not a din of Ikar V'Tafel. We learned in past weeks that Bori Priya Gofen might be more parallel to like Hamotzi, for example, where you make a bracha on drinks. It's a bracha on drinks. It's not a din in Ikar V'Tafel. It's just the primary bracha on drinks. And if that's the case, that it's not Ikar V'Tafel, so does the Emek Bracha's argument fall away?
Yeah.
So you can't bring a raya from there.
Because I was never mechayev myself in a bracha on this Reiner Fasha. If this is a context of drinks, a context of wine, so that in the context of wine, there's no such thing as making a Reiner Fasha, a bracha achrona on a different drink.
Okay.
So this Mishnah Berurah Suffolk is Suffolk if I ever came to the Chiyuv. So in a Suffolk, if I ever came to the Chiyuv, I can't make a bracha. I can't just like say. Oh, maybe I did come to the Chiyuv, I'll make a bracha achrona.
So you're saying specifically the case where it's not the regular Ikar V'Tafel, but rather drinking the wine and also that covering the water, or it's not considered Ikar V'Tafel, so Therefore that's not going to just kind of, you know, default back to the Bari Nefashos.
Right.
Okay. Gevaldik. Love Rizcha D'Reis. Amazing. Okay. Thank you, guys. So let's go weiter. A couple other things. Okay. So source number 10, Vizos HaBracha. So in the Sefer Vizos HaBracha, he speaks about a question. Let's say you wanted to have in mind that the bracha on the ikar should not cover the tafel. Would that work? Would that be effective? So he says that depends on two issues. Number one, can you even do that to begin with? Does it ever work to say, I'm making a shahakol on this, but it shouldn't cover food B that is also a shahakol. Can you have negative das for a birkas hananim? That's question number one, and that's machlokas achronim. Question number two, assuming that you can have negative das, can you say, I'm making the bracha on the ikar, but that shouldn't cover the tafel? If you hold of a subsuming idea, then yeah. But if it's an eclipsing idea, then the tafel's kind of annihilated, regardless of whether you want it to be or not. That's just the way that the ikar v'tafel is set up. So therefore, your negative das would not work in a case of ikar v'tafel. Just another kind of cute nafkamina to, again, demonstrate the point for us. Yosef, you seem to be getting excited.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time with my this. You said shahakol and shahakol. I mean, isn't the whole idea of ikar v'tafel a chiddush to teach you that if there's two different brachos or two different foods, that one covers the other? Otherwise, like, what's the chiddush? Like, going back to Reb Dovi's point, which is that, you know, two drinks are two drinks. They're not... What's the sheikhs? If it's not two different brachos, like what's the chiddush there? What's special?
If it's the same bracha.
Yeah. What's the point of Ikar V'Tafel? It's not Ikar V'Tafel anymore. It's just, like we said, two brachos. It's two shahakos, so there's no Ikar V'Tafel there.
In which case?
Zos Bracha mentioned shahakol and shahakol, so I'm just getting very confused here.
Okay, so Zos HaBracha is talking about, first of all, two questions. Number one, can you have negative das? Can you say that I'm making a bracha on X, but even though Meikar Adin it should cover Y, I don't want it to cover Y. I want to make a separate bracha. I want to make a bracha twice. Can you say that? That's question number one.
Isn't sushi a great example of that?
Okay, let's hear. How?
Make a bracha on every ingredient.
No, it's an Ikar V'Tafel issue. Yeah, we'll discuss sushi.
That's not an Ikar V'Tafel. You have your rice, you got your cucumber, and you get your fish.
Right, but it's all one tarovas.
Right,
or is it?
And there are those that hold the make a bracha on each thing. What about
but those that's not a case. That's because each item has a separate bracha, right? And let's say an ice cream cone. Okay, each
one different things of brachos. Like
yeah, but that's so I'm saying divide the analysis into two points. Okay, the first point is just can you have negative das? Forget about Ikar V'Tafel. Totally pretend we never learned Ikar V'Tafel. Just can you have negative das? Okay, so I have orange juice and I also have water and I want both. But when I make my shahakol on the orange juice, it should cover the water because it's right in front of me and I know I'm gonna have it. But I say, I don't want it to cover. Does that work? Okay? So that's machlokas. Now we're saying that al atzad, that it does work, if you hold that you can have negative das, can you also apply negative das to a case of Ikar V'Tafel? So can I say, when I have my cereal and milk, that I want to make a separate bracha on my milk?
Just to give an example. First thing, why would everyone do that? But in the scenario, let's say the ice cream cone or the ice cream sandwich, there's a big debate You know, could I do it? Is that example why I would want to?
Maybe you could add another sniff. Rabbi Donath saying that maybe you could say, if there's a big debate on the, on an ice cream sandwich, should you make one bracha or two brachos? Maybe as an extra sniff, you could say, I have negative das. I don't want the mizonos to cover the shackle.
The shallot,
and then now it's, is it right? Does it do anything?
Otherwise, why?
Yeah, right. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. I'm just using it to demonstrate, but I like the practical application. It's great. Yeah.
Just a little bit more step back with the generic eclipsing versus subsuming.
Yeah.
The language of the Mishnah sounds very strongly to me like subsuming. Because
Baruch Shekivanta L'Devei Rav Moshe. Let's read, let's go. I skipped Rav Moshe because of time. But look at Rav Moshe in source number 8. It's in the third bold. He says, Shaloshon ze mashma degam alat fila ika chiyuv bracha. Raksha nifter bebracha de beirach ala ikar.
Because otherwise you would say...
Lo tzarech.
You would say... Poder, you would say...
Eino tzarech.
Yeah, eino tzarech. Right, something like that.
Awesome, awesome. So, Ari is mechaving to the exact diuk of Ramosha. Okay. All right. So, there's so much to discuss, but... Okay. Hazman katzar. So let's get to one more halacha, which is like this. Oh, but what, just before that, one very short point. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about, when we get into these Lamaisa issues, again, it becomes complicated, and one of the reasons why it becomes complicated is because there's so many different scenarios, different types of Iker V'Tafel. You have Iker V'Tafel of a Ta'aroves, where you have, you're having everything all at once. You also have Iker V'Tafel of Ze Achar Ze, right? Like the case in the Mishnah, where you're eating the salty item and the bread separately, but one is meant to, it's just meant to temper the taste or something like that. So you have various scenarios of Iker V'Tafel, and then when you add all of the Metzius cases, every case you need to first be magdir what type of Iker V'Tafel is this, and then what rules apply based on the case. So I was just surmising, kind of speculating, we might be machalik between the different types of Iker V'Tafel in terms of how the mechanism of Iker Poter Es HaTafel works. Like if you have a Ta'aroves, right? So it's one entity, it's one glob. I could very much see the eclipsing idea apply over there, where you say that, okay, the rove is like this. The everything else is just, you know, minority ingredients. It's all one item. So, okay, we're not looking at the other ones are not chayv and bracha at all. We make a bracha on the rove. That's it. Whereas when you have two separate items, it's shalo b'ta roves, so you have to confront both. You're eating both. You're eating them separately. It's two different experiences of eating. It's just that because of their relationship between the two, because of the tzeirf between the two, the ikar is poter the tafel. So just something to keep in mind as we go through the rest of the scenarios of ikar v'tafel. Now, last halacha for tonight. What happens, and we'll see that this is somewhat related to our previous discussion, what happens if you eat the tafel before the ikar? You eat the tafel before the ikar of dovi. What do you say? Do you make a bracha on the tafel? I'm asking you because you mentioned something earlier that is connected to this question. We said kol anene me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha hiluma, right? So if you're eating the tafel before the ikar, shouldn't you have to make a bracha on the tafel? Because you're getting hana from the tafel. So that's what the Trumas Hadeshen writes in source number 11. Trumas Hadeshen says that you have to make a bracha on the tafel, but then the question becomes, what bracha do you make? So here there are four different opinions about what bracha you make, and each one is its own world of lamdas. So the Beis Yosef says in source number 12, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you make the regular bracha of the tafel. Whatever bracha belongs to the tafel, that's the bracha that you say. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah and Shaar HaTzion explains, so what the Beis Yosef is saying is that when you eat the tafel prior to the ikar, you don't have ikar v'tafel. You don't have the circumstance, you don't have the context of ikar v'tafel, because you had the tafel prior to the ikar. So you can't say that the ikar is now really kind of like knocking out the tafel or subsuming it, because you don't have the ikar. Okay, so Ari disagrees. So Ari is going to hold like the other opinions, like the Or Zarua, or like the Magen Avram. Let's start with the Magen Avram according to one opinion. So the Magen Avram, according to Rav Aryeh Leib Malin, so he holds that you make the bracha on the ikar. The bracha of the ikar is the one that you make on the tafel. Okay? Whoa. So if you're having crackers and peanut butter, and you first eat the peanut butter, right? So you're going to make a mizonos. Very strange. Yeah. Very strange, right? So the idea there is that so Ari wants to say that this whole business of saying that there's no context, that's a chuchotu, that's a joke, because you know you're about to have the crackers. So Ari wants to say that there is a context of Iker V'Tafel. You just happen to be messing up the order, but the same rules of Iker V'Tafel should apply, just as if you ate the Iker prior to the Tafel. That's the Magen Avraham according to Rabbi Yehuda Malin. Now, okay, so those are the two extremes. Now in the middle, we have two other interesting opinions. The Or Zarua, and this is the way that the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin, the Or Zarua says, you say shahakol on the tafel. And you always say shahakol on the tafel. Regardless of whether the ikr is shahakol or not, you say shahakol on the tafel. Why? Because what's the whole mechayiv of the bracha on the tafel in this case? You don't have a specific bracha mechayiv, because you're going to have the ikr. So the specific bracha, that belongs to the ikr. But you have a separate mechayiv. The separate mechayiv is that you can't benefit without making a bracha. Remember in our first shiur in the entire Hilchos Brachos Kola, we discussed the mitzvah versus the isur in bracha rishona. There's the mitzvah of bracha rishona, and then there's the isur of hana'a me'olam hazeh below bracha. So you have to make a bracha in order to circumvent the isur. In this case, all that you have before you is the potential isur. Because the mitzvah for the bracha, that belongs to the ikar. So all that you have is the isur. Once all you have is the isur, so then what's the bracha on getting hana from this world? Just an amorphous hana. Shahakol. Shahakol is the catch-all bracha. Whenever you have just hana, you're making a bracha on hana, you say shahakol. So therefore, the Or Zarua and the Mishnah Berurah passing this way says that, and that's what we read earlier, by the way, when I read it quickly and I said we would come back to it. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you eat the tafel prior to the ikar, you make a shahakol on the tafel.
Mishnah Berurah seems to say that.
So yeah. Thank you. The Rama quotes the Truma Sadesh and quotes Or Zarua, and I'm saying the Mishnah Berurah seems to accept the Rama's opinion.
As opposed to the Magen Avraham.
We were going to have a cracker with peanut butter, like in your mind, like in 2 minutes.
You knew you were going to do it. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah also points out that you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be trying to cause
patience,
trouble.
Patience.
Right? But the reason why I'm quoting it is not so much, again, for the Lamaisa value of it, but rather because I think it demonstrates certain yesodos in what we discussed earlier, right? If you say like the Magen Avraham, you're going to say a mizonos because you're going to have the ikr later. So you're saying that the tafel gets subsumed within the ikr, so you make the bracha on the ikar. According to the Beis Yosef, so we have, again, that idea that there needs to be a tseruf between the ikr and the tafel. If you have the tafel before the ikr, that tseruf is broken, so now you're making the bracha on the tafel. According to the Mishnah Berurah, so you can't say that the tafel is subsumed within the ikar because you don't have the ikar yet, but you do have another issue of hana'a. So that's another very important yesod that you're going to say shahakol. And then the last thing is, the last opinion is the way that the Mishnah Berurah reads the Magen Avraham, different from the way that Rabbi Eli Malin reads it, which is also just complicated, but he says like this. If the bracha on the ikar is shahakol, then you say shahakol on the tafel. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be saying shahakol. So you might as well say shahakol to begin with. But if the bracha on the ikar is not shahakol, it's borei priyo eitz, for example. So then you should say borei pri ha eitz on the tafel. Yeah, I think. Wait, hold on 1 second. I don't think I said that right. No, and then you say here we go. Last opinion, Magen Avraham. If you say if the bracha on the ikar is shahakol, then you say shahakol on the tafel. What if the bracha on the ikar is something else? So then you say the bracha of the tafel. You say the bracha of the tafel like the Beis Yosef. Okay? All right, we'll leave it at that. Nice and confusing to leave us off. But I think
so
there's very important yesodos that come out of that halacha. A question before?
Yeah. The Magen Avraham says that if you say the bracha on the tafel, even if you're going to have the ikar after, right?
Right, so everybody agrees.
You say the bracha of the ikar on the tafel, even if you have the ikar after the tafel. Right?
That's one understanding of Magen Avraham, yeah.
So then, according to that, on Shabbat, would he make hamotzi on wine?
So the wine is not really considered tafel to the bread. It's just a separate part of the meal. Right? You're having wine because you're obligated to have kiddush.
It It does get wrapped into benching, though, right?
Yes, because benching always covers both food and drink. But not because of Iker V'tafel, just because benching covers everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's yucky.
So wine is not more important than hamotzi, ever?
So, wine, right. So, to have Iker V'tafel, it doesn't necessarily mean that one is more important than the other, right? Mm-hmm. But rather, the way in which you eat it is that the Iker kind of overshadows the Tafel. But in that case, you're not having wine because, you know, you want to fill your stomach before you have the bread. You're having wine because you're obligated to have wine at the beginning of the meal, right? Okay, all right. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll get going with more Lamaisa applications of Iker V'tafel. Yashar Koran, everybody.